Phoebe. Do not scorn me. Do not, Phoebe. To say that you love me not, but say not so in bitterness. The common executioner, whose heart the accustomed sight of death makes hard, falls not the axe upon the humbled neck, but first begs pardon. Will you sterner be than he that dies and lives by bloody drops?
I would not be thy executioner. I fly thee, for I would not injure thee. Thou tellest me there is murder in mine eye. Tis pretty, sure, and very probable that eyes that are the frailest and softest things who shut the coward gates on atomies should be called tyrants, butchers, murderers. Now show the wound mine eye have made in thee. Scratch thee but with a pin, and there remains some scar of it. Lean but upon a rush, the cicatrice incapable and pressure thy palm some moment keeps. But now mine eyes, which I have darted at thee, hurt thee not. For I am sure there is no force in eyes that can do hurt.
Oh, dear Phoebe, if ever, as that ever may be near, you meet in some fresh cheek the power of fancy, then shall you know the wounds invisible that love's keen arrows make.
But till that time, come not thou near me. And when that time comes, afflict me with thy mocks. Pity me not. Until that time, I shall not pity thee.
And why, I pray you?
What?
Oh, let be your mother. Be you insult, exult, and all at once over the wretched. What though you have no beauty? As by my faith, I see no more in you than without candle may go dark to bed. Must you be therefore proud and pitiless?
Well, what means this? Why do you look on me?
I see no more in you than in the ordinary of nature's sales work. What's my little life? I think she means to tangle my eyes, too. No faith, proud mistress. Hope not after it. 'Tis not your inky brows, your black silk hair, your bugle eyeballs, nor your cheek of cream that can entame my spirits to your worship.
Oh, sir.
Oh, you foolish shepherd. Wherefore do you follow her? Like foggy south, puffing with wind and rain. You are a thousand times a properer man than she, a woman. To such fools as you that makes the world full of ill-favored children. 'Tis not her glass, but you that flatters her. And out of you she sees herself more proper than any of her lineaments can show her. But, mistress, know yourself. Down on your knees. And thank heaven, fasting for a good man's love. For I must tell you friendly in your ear. So when you can, you are not for all markets. Mm-hmm. Cry the man mercy, love him, take his offer. Foul is most foul, being foul to be a scoffer. So, take her to thee, shepherd, fare you well.
For youth, I pray you chide a year together.
I'd rather hear you chide than this man woo. He's fallen in love with your foulness. She'll fall in love with my anger. If it be so, as fast as she answers thee with frowning looks, I'll sauce her with bitter words. Why look you so upon me?
For no ill will I bear you.
I pray you do not fall in love with me. For I am falser than vows made in wine. Besides, I like you not. Shepherd, ply her hard. Shepherdess, look on him better, and be not proud. Though all the world could see, none could be so abused in sight as he. Come, sister, to our flock.
Dead shepherd, now I find thy sore of might. Whoever laughed that loved not at first sight?
Sweet Phoebe.
What sayest thou, Silvius?
Sweet Phoebe, pity me.
Why, I am sorry for thee, gentle Silvius.
Wherever sorrow is, relief would be. If you do sorrow at my grief in love, by giving love, your sorrow and my grief were both exterminated.
Thou hast my love. It's not that neighbourly.
I would have you.
Why, that were covetousness. Silvius, the time was that I hated thee. And yet, it is not that I bear thee love. But since that thou canst talk of love so well, thy company, which erst was irksome to me, I will endure. And I'll employ thee, too. But do not look for further recompense than thine own gladness that thou art employed.
So holy and so perfect is my love and I in such a poverty of grace, but I shall think it a most plenteous crop to glean the broken ears after the man that the main harvest reaps. Loose now and then a scattered smile, and that I live upon.
Knowest thou the youth that spoke to me a while?
Well, not very well, but I have met him oft, and he hath bought the cottage and the bounds that the old carlet once was master of.
Think not I love him, though I ask for him. 'Tis but a peevish boy, yet he talks well. For what care I for words? Yet words do well when he that speaks them pleases those that hear. It is a pretty youth. Not very pretty. But sure he's proud. And yet his pride becomes him. He'll make a proper man. The best thing in him is his complexion. And faster than his tongue did make offence, his eyes did heal it up. There was a pretty redness in his lip, a little riper and more lusty red than that mixed in his cheek. 'Twas just the difference betwixt the constant red and mingled damask. There be some women, Silvius. Had they marked him in parcels as I did, would have gone near to fall in love with him. But for my part, I love him not, nor hate him not. And yet, I have more cause to hate him than to love him. For what is he to do to chide at me? He said my eyes were black and my hair black, and now I am remembered scorned at me. I marvel why I answered not again. But that's all one. A mittance is no quittance. I'll write to him a very taunting letter, and thou shalt bear it. Wilt thou, Silvius?
Phoebe, with all my heart.
I'll wreck it straight. The matter's in my head and in my heart. I will be bitter with him. And passing short. Go with me, Silvius.
Oh, Phoebe.